Recorded Books and RB Digital present Wind River Undercover by Lindsay McKenna, narrated by Johanna Parker. Chapter 1. April 1st. Anna Navarro lay on her belly, covered overhead by pungent-smelling juniper boughs. Sharp little Southern California desert stones bit into her thighs and knees, below the Kevlar vest she wore, and were like needles bruising her skin through the tough military camouflage duck fabric. Darkness surrounded her. Her mission for the Drug Enforcement Agency, the DEA, had taken her to an area south of Descanso, California. It was quiet, except for some yips from coyotes on the prowl around the rocky hills surrounding her. She pushed a strand of her black hair away from her eyes. Through the infrared scope on her rifle, she followed three gray pickups down a dirt road toward a nearby dirt airstrip located below her position. The Mexican border wasn't far away, and a plane flying across it was expected to drop drugs. Six drug soldiers would be waiting to haul off the goods when they landed on the U.S. side of the border. The tiny radio in her left ear quietly broke the silence, and she heard Border Patrol taking five vehicles, three following out of sight behind the enemy, and two in front of them on that road, also unseen, to box them in and capture them. It was a thin, narrow valley, the slopes steep, boulders the size of cars, filled with thousands of spidery-armed ocotillos. There was no way for the druggies to escape this time. The corners of her mouth pulled grimly upward, watching the whole scene play out below her hide. With her rifle resting on a tripod, all she had to do was lie on the ground, remain hidden, communicate what was going on, and continually survey the surrounding area to make sure no other drug soldiers were in the hills, waiting to jump her Border Patrol agents. The night air chilled her, even though she wore a Kevlar vest and a heavy dark green Guatemalan Marine military jacket. It was not that warm in the dead of night, especially for someone from a hot, humid jungle country who was dropped into the dry southwest of the U.S. to work in the chilly mountains above San Diego. Still, her country's jacket was better than nothing. Her mind drifted for a moment, although her gaze hovered near the scope, watching the Border Patrol close in on the unsuspecting pickups that had just loaded a tremendous amount of bales and smaller packages into the beds of the vehicles. The drug plane, a single fixed wing, took off, swiftly gaining altitude and banking toward the border. There was satisfaction in her that whatever was in those trucks wouldn't find its way onto this country's streets. She spoke into the mic and reported the trucks moving onto the dirt road and away from the airstrip, heading east at 25 miles an hour. She knew the druggies wanted to get onto a highway 10 miles from that point and then scatter east and west. At 27 years old, with years of experience in Guatemala, busting drug runners and taking down major players as a sniper, she found this type of work in the U.S. boring in comparison. The DEA had invited her up to the U.S. based on reports from the Guatemalan military that she was their best force multiplier, someone who could take this type of assignment and carry it out with success. She didn't mind taking out higher-ups or a drug lord himself in her country either, if she got the chance. After all, her beloved father, Marine General Marcos Navarro, had been shot and killed by a drug lord sniper when she was 15 years old. His murder had changed the course of her life, as well as that of her mother, Maria, a prosecuting attorney. It was on that horrible day that Anna swore to destroy the cancer of drug lords killing her people in Guatemala. Later, she went to Marine Sniper School in the United States, learning her trade and craft, and came back to her country and applied that knowledge with deadly precision. She listened intently, hearing something light-footed scuttling near the tree she was hiding beneath. Her gold-brown eyes were well-adjusted to the half-moonlight that reminded her of a watercolor, a thin wash across the dark, shadowy desert hill landscape. Sensing movement, she lifted her chin, twisting her head slowly to the left. It was a mother raccoon with six kits in tow, heading off the hill and down to a nearby creek below. They were all in a line, like a gaggle of geese, probably to hunt for freshwater mussels, crawdads, fish, or other unnamed denizens that lived beneath the surface as well.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?